Well, thank you guys who serve and gals who serve. It at times can be a thankless job from the littlest things, like restacking the lids that we run out of and putting the stirs back in the thing, to the big jobs that you see happen around you. You know, some things get pushed up front when more people see them, but each and every one is important. Each and every one serves the body, and it's not just the body, it's serving Christ. And so that's what we're going to look at today, because in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6, we see an argument that arises, and it's talking about, you know, as Muhammad Ali would say, I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest of all time, you know? And those disciples had that same struggle, and that same heart where they're like, who's the greatest? Who's going to be the greatest? So if you would, read this passage with me. I'll read it. You just follow along. You have to read along. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly, I say to you. Thank you. Unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him than to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Pray with me, if you will. Father, we come to this passage and it ends with this warning. We can be guilty of having a heart that wants to be recognized, that wants to be puffed up, wants to be pushed into the front. And Lord, we want to have our hearts aligned with you. We want to have the attitude of Christ Jesus. And so as we look at this passage today, Lord, as we read from your holy word, Holy Spirit, teach us. Teach us to humble ourselves. Teach us to love one another. Teach us to serve. Lord, we confess that we so often can be like the disciples in this passage where it just creeps in. And we are struggling with our own thoughts and our own attitudes and our own desires. So help us once again to see ourselves clearly and to just surrender. Just surrender to you and to your ways, because that's where joy and life is found. And so as we come, we just say, Christ be glorified in the teaching of this word through our lives. May the kingdom of God be manifest as we submit to you, I'll walk with you. May people see you and give praise to you because of how you transform us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here we have this passage, and I set my glasses down. They're over there. Like I can't see. That's a humbling thing for me, because I've always had good vision growing up. And I used to make fun of my mom. I used to say, how long can your arms get, Mom? You can only go so far away. And now if she was here, she'd be like, uh-huh, Rob. Mm-hmm. You know. Anyway. We come to this passage here in Matthew 18. And it says, at this time, the disciples came to Jesus asking him this question. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who is the greatest? What's beneath that question? You know, there could be all kinds of things beneath that question. Why do we want to be recognized for anything? You know, like there's different reasons people want recognition. There's things going on in our hearts, and it's sometimes sneaky. We don't even realize what exactly is there. You know, it's kind of like doing that diagnostic. You know, you kick the tires, look under the hood, kind of thing. It's like that's what this is. These guys don't even realize it. They, you know, they pull into the shop, and Jesus is a great mechanic. You know, they're like, hey, you know, our hearts are making a rattling noise. He's like, all right, we're going to pop the hood and find out what's going on. And they say, well, what's it doing? You ever go into a mechanic and you're like me, you have no idea what you're doing. And the guy's like, what's going on? And you start making the noise. You know, it's like, well, or it has this high pitch, you know, and then it does that. I don't know how they do the diagnostic, but I'm sure they get a good kick out of us who do these things, right? They're like, sure. Well, we'll just take a look at it. You tell everybody else what it does? You know, one more time. See, Jesus with these guys is looking at their hearts. And so, I mean, the questions could be like this, you know, how can I be more valuable to God? Like, who's the greatest? I want to know that I'm just more valuable to him. Like, I want to be of service to the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's something about that need of he needs me for this. Like the ministry is not going to move forward if I'm not involved. It will. he moves his church. He shepherds his church. But we ask those questions like, what's you know, how can I be more valuable to God? What does God think of me? How can I? Or this one, how can I be more loved by God? He's the greatest in the kingdom. How do I get more affection from him? You know, if I'm doing the right things and I'm greater in the kingdom, he must have more affection for me. Like, you know, you're doing really well, but that guy, let me tell you, like, he's all over the place, man. He's great. I really, really appreciate him a lot more. God doesn't do that, by the way. He loves us. The way he loves the Son. When you are in Christ, when you are clothed with salvation and the righteousness of Christ, the love that the Father has for Jesus Christ, the Son, is the same love and affection he has for you. It's not one's greater and one's less. He loves us in Christ, the same, never ending, never failing, always pursuing. Love. But we get into this thing like, you know, if you have siblings, you've probably done what I've done. I'm the baby of the family, so I am the most loved. and I like to let my siblings know that. Mom, Dad love me more. You know, we play that game. And in some ways, we would think it's true. Look how Mom treated me. I got away with that. You know, she loves me more. You know, the kids would get on each other. It's like, why do you let them do that? Like, I never got away with that. You know, God's not that way. He loves us in Christ. It's the same. He pursues us, the same. He has a great affection for us. So who's the greatest sometimes is, how can I be more loved by God? Or who's the greatest and can be, How can I gain more influence and authority? You think of those passages where Jesus talks about those who are serving, gives the parable of these guys who are serving, and one comes, he says, Lord, I've taken what you've given to me, and I put it to work, and I have five. And he says, well, you have five, I'm going to give you 10. And the next guy says, well, I have two. I put it to work. He gave me this talent. I put it to work, and now I have two. And he's like, I'll give you five. And the other guy buries his talent in the ground. He's like, you wicked servant. You know, we think of that, and it's like, how can I have more authority? Like, how can I take what God gives me and put it to work and have him be like, oh, yeah, you're doing so much better, and he's going to give me more authority. And it makes a name for myself. When people think about me, they think about all the things I've accomplished for the Lord, you know, but it's this heart that it just deceives us at times. I want to gain influence. I want to gain authority. Or like I just said, how will I be known? What will my identity be? That one's hard. Cause we all live out of identity. This is who I am. This is what I do. I was talking to my wife this week about this passage. I said, there's times where it's like, I'm a pastor. That's what I do. That's who I am. That's my identity. What would I be if God called me to do something? No, like, could I do something? Like would I be in another, like, this is how I know. This is how people know me. And like, this is important. So what do? We protect that. We protect that identity. My identity is I'm a child of God, beloved of Jesus. And whatever he calls me to do, that's how I will serve. What I do is not who I am. And so often we get caught up saying, who's the greatest in the kingdom? And we protect our ministry or our service because that's our identity. That's how we think of ourselves. So these men are like, hey, who's the greatest? And they probably have different jobs. The 12 probably have different jobs. And they're thinking, which one do you value more, Jesus? And who has the greater legacy? If we go off into obscurity, but Jesus is exalted, then that's exactly what should happen. That's perfect. As the bridge moves on, it should be known as a congregation of the people of Jesus, not that's Rob's church, because it's not Rob's church. So we can fall into the same trap of asking God, how can I be great in your kingdom? Or how can I serve you more or be loved by you more? Like there's ways we nuance it because we don't want to really be honest with ourselves at times and show that we have the wrong question. We try to make it more spiritual. But this is what's happening. These guys pull into the shop. Jesus pops the hood and says, holy, like, we got some issues here. it's like, but I can fix that. He can fix where we are today. So Jesus is asked to settle an argument. And yes, it's an argument. They're actually fighting about this. They're looking at each other and they're saying, who's the greatest? Well, I'm better than you are, man. Man, you don't serve nearly as hard as Peter. But Peter, you know, I don't know. You're not as good as... And they start fighting. James and John. Or is the sons of thunder? Why does Jesus give us nicknames? And, you know, come on. I mean, they're actually in an argument over job, over position. Maybe who was called first was like, well, I was called first. I'm the first disciple. He didn't call you guys first. He called me first. Like, so their hearts are turned worldly. They're thinking about Jesus as a king, and a king needs a court, and in his court, there's advisors and people with authority, and they want to know who's going to be closest to the king. That's really where they are. So their hearts are turned worldly. They're turned inward. They're thinking like the world. They're thinking like the empire, not like the kingdom of God. So they need to be humble. So these humble disciples at times that we think of are not so meek and humble. They're not so mild. Luke chapter 9, verse 46, just underscores it when we see it in a different passage here. Luke says, an argument arose among them as to which of them was the greatest. Got a little heat. Oh, there's a little tension there. These guys are traveling together, and they start picking at each other. His position in the ministry and what they're doing with Jesus, and maybe not doing it as well as the other, or maybe not pulling their weight or whatever. So they have this, who is the greatest? What does this look like? And they want to know, where in your kingdom, Jesus, where in your administration, where do we rank? And this argument actually comes up again. Matthew 20, verses 20 through 28. It's a little bit long, but here it comes up again. So they have this argument in 18, just a couple chapters over, now in 20. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, what do you want? And she said to him, say that these two sons of mine are to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom. And Jesus answered, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?
And they said to him, We are able.
He said to them, You will drink the cup. Drink my cup. But to sit at my right hand and my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father.
And when the ten heard it,
they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave.
Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve,
and to give his life as a ransom for many.
This is a couple chapters over, and here they got mom involved.
You know, the sons of thunder go and talk to mom, and she's like, you know, we're going to handle this right now. I'm going to go see Jesus with you. You boys come with me. You know?
We're gonna handle this right now.
That's what moms do, right? Sometimes, you know, you see James is like, all right, mom, what are we gonna do? They're like, I don't know, guys. Like, mom wanted to go see Jesus. Yeah.
But they're emboldened to ask the same thing.
She's like,
put them at your right and your left hand. Positions of authority, positions of honor.
Would you give this to them for me? Would you do this for me as an honor? And what happens is the other ten hear it and indignant.
That's a polite word.
I think there is some real fireworks in that moment. They are not happy.
Like we just had this argument. And you guys show up with your mom?
And we're doing that again? Yeah. And you know what? We do the same thing.
Our hearts lead us at times astray the same way.
We don't even recognize it at times. And we do things again and again.
And yet look how patient Jesus is.
He's like, one, you don't really understand what you're talking about here, like what you're asking. But he's like,
here's again what it must look like.
It must be like me, serving,
giving your life up,
becoming less. And exalting others above yourself.
And so he does that here.
In this passage in Matthew 18 that we're looking at, in verses 2 through 4,
he does it this way.
And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them. And said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.
Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
So the question is, who is the greatest? The answer is, the greatest is the least among us.
The greatest is the least of us.
That's a topsy-turvy kingdom, isn't it?
It's not like the world.
He's like, if we think of the pyramid...
He says, turn that pyramid upside down,
and the one at the bottom is the servant of all.
And then that is the greatest one.
The one who gives himself, herself,
for the rest.
The one who serves the others.
The one who is humble, who is meek,
who is like a child.
In this sense, he's fully relying on the Father for help
and to be able to care.
Totally yielded to the Heavenly Father.
See, the child needs care.
Children are not wonderful kids.
Or wonderful. But you need mom and dad.
You need help.
You need someone to take care of a lot of stuff.
And you're dependent on them
in many ways. But yet you're still very capable.
There's so much that you can do.
As children.
And so this is what Jesus is saying. He's like, the children of the kingdom of heaven are reliant on the Father.
They humble themselves and they say, Abba, Father, I need your help in all of this stuff that you have us to do, how you would have us live, and how we are to serve and do this.
I can't do it alone. I need you to help me.
Dad, come help me with this.
Give me wisdom in this.
Give me strength to do this task.
come alongside and help me. That's, he's like a child. He says, you have to be humble like a child. It's not,
I got this, get out of the way. You know?
And that's how we like to think of ourselves as proficient,
as capable. And many of us are. Many of us have multiple degrees and talents and abilities and, you've developed your life and you are very competent and capable. But we still work out of humility, not out of our own strength, not out of our own wisdom, not out of our own abilities. You give those abilities and our wisdom and our everything to Jesus. And we say, God, help me. As you've called me to love others and to serve others, help me with this. I give you what I have. Now, how do we do it, Dad? How do we do it? What does it look like? That's what he's saying to these men. Pulls this child. And you know, it would have been so easy in this moment for Jesus to point to himself. Who's the greatest in the kingdom?
He's like, well, me.
And be like me. You know, I grew up in the 90s, 80s, 90s. And, you know, that's when Michael Jordan and the Bulls were doing their whole run and all that stuff. And you had the commercial, my main man, Michael Jordan. And then they're like, be like Mike. And everybody wanted to be like Mike, you know, that kind of thing.
So
Jesus could have easily just pointed to himself and said, be like me. But what he does is he gives this powerful illustration. He says, guys, you have to be like a child. First, to come into the kingdom, you have to be like a child. It's by faith. He says, if you're not even humble enough to receive the mercy of God, you're not even going to make the kingdom, let alone be the greatest. Like you have to come and say, I need you, God. I need your salvation. I need your love. Mercy. I need you to cover my sin. Make me new. He said, if you can't come and say that to God, first of all, you're not even in the kingdom. So like a child, come and receive the grace of Jesus and come into the kingdom. And he says, then as you come into the kingdom, the one who is like this child, who lives like this child, is the one who is exalted. Whoever humbles himself, the Lord will exalt. A child needs care, yet is capable, like I said, of many things. Doesn't puff himself up, and she doesn't puff herself up. They just look to the Father for approval and support, resulting in the feeling of love and joy. When you have that support and that smile that comes from a parent, there's that.
Well, that felt so good.
Like it's not perfect, no, but there is that love and support. And when the Heavenly Father does that, we just feel the joy that God has, the love that God has, and it fills us with joy and with love. So we can experience it. So as we serve one another, we say, God, here's what I'm doing. It's like a child that brings to you a craft, and you just swallow it. Just like, I did this drawing for you, Dad. And you look at it and you're just like, that is beautiful. That is the best. We're putting it on the fridge. Like the kids walk around, they're like, that's my picture. My dad has it up. I mean there were some kids in my congregation that were drawing me pictures and I would put it up in my office. Why? Because I loved it. The heart behind it. Just beautiful. And that's what the Father sees. His kids, his children, you and I, serving and doing. We say, here it is, Dad. And he says, that's awesome. And we know it's not for her sake. But this is what he's like. And Jesus is saying, this is what you should be like. And this is how Jesus himself is with the Heavenly Father. Look at this. This is how Jesus even ministers. John 5:19. So it says this. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. So he looks to the Heavenly Father and says, Father, what are we doing? How are we ministering? What is the thing that you would have me put my hand to today? And then he would do that. Verse 30, further down is this discord here at 5. It says, I can do nothing on my own. He's talking to the people. He says, as I hear,
I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So he says, I'm looking to the Father in all things. This is Jesus. Hey, who's the greatest in the kingdom? The one who's like a child. Jesus, the Son of God, looks to the Heavenly Father and says, I listen to his voice. I see what he would show me. I do what he has me to do. When I am to judge or to minister or to do it, it's not my will being fulfilled. It's his will being fulfilled. And because of that, it is perfect. Verse 41 says this, I do not receive glory from people. Who's the greatest in the kingdom? Who are you trying to get glory from? Who do you want to look up to you? That's another hard issue, isn't it? Is it for others to look at you and say, you are awesome. And that feels good. People pat us on the back and say, hey, you did a great job. And I noticed what all of that's awesome. And you know what? We should appreciate one another. I'll get there in a minute. But is it for your own glory? Jesus says, I don't take glory from you. It's for his glory. I'm doing it for the glory of the Father. So even the Son of God is saying, what I do is for the glory of the Father. And the Father glorifies the Son. The Son doesn't glorify himself. The Father glorifies the Son, who is looking to the Father for all things. So we are exalted by God when we humble ourselves and we serve in the right heart. He raises us up. I listened to a sermon that illustrates this. It was by Francis Chan. He was talking about how I'm not saying one thing or another about Mother Teresa, but it was about Mother Teresa and how she was just serving and how she was just going about loving people and serving people. She never sought to promote herself, and she never was looking to make much of herself. But she was exalted, and she's now a household name. Everybody knows who Mother Teresa is. And you may have your own thoughts about Mother Teresa, but the point was is that she didn't do that. Like she was just exalted by God. Like people saw serving and they saw that heart and they saw what she was doing. When we humble ourselves, if there is glory to be given, if God wants to glorify you and exalt you, he will do that. He will make the way to do that. And you will feel like, I didn't seek this. I'm humbled by this. And so serving as Christ, that's the example was this child in front of us. So Jesus could have pointed again to himself, but the illustration is more powerful. The child is of no importance. Doesn't have a situation or a standing. The child was not threatening. Bring this child in front of us. Be like this child. It's like, oh, bring this big burly man in front of us.
Be like this guy.
Man, that guy's a impressive, like, I don't know. Like there's people when you're in their presence, you're just kind of like, ooh, I feel small.
Yeah.
Child is not threatening. So here's this child. Be like a child. Not threatening. No one's scared. I'll tell you what. No one was ever scared of meeting 5-year-old Rob when I was growing up. Okay. I was not impressed. It was not
a specimen you see before you today.
Not threatening. The child doesn't deceive very well.
May try, but it doesn't deceive very well.
You ever play hide and seek with a kid?
I'll count one, two. They run over, take the blanket.
can't see me.
Why?
It's because I can't see them. They have no idea where I am.
And you're like, you see the kid and they're hiding there.
I wonder where they are. You over here? I don't know. And you do that whole game, and the kid, you hear him giggling under the blanket. They don't deceive very well.
We shouldn't try to deceive either. We should be humble. We should be open with the Father. We should be open with others. The
child is a great example. The child is used as an illustration of humility. So he says they should humble themselves.
Paul shows us ultimately how Christ's humility looked in his letter to the Philippians. Philippians 2:8 says this, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death,
even death on a cross. So he humbles himself. He goes to the cross for us.
This goes all the way back to what Jesus is saying there in Matthew 20 that we just read, that he came to serve and to give his life. So verses 5 and 6, it says, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned
in the depth of the sea.
How are we to respond to one another? That's where Jesus goes. How are you to respond to one another? He is not talking about children, by the way, here.
He's not saying if you ruin the faith of the little one.
He does mean that too, but he's talking about you and I being like children now. He says, if you're coming with the faith of a child and you're serving like a child, those around you with this humility and this heart, how are you to respond? Well, first, receiving one another. So receive each other as if it were Christ serving us. So Matthew 20, we see that again, but I'm going to go to John 13, verse 2 and 5. It says this, during supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that at the time, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper, he laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. It's the Son of God, the one who created all things. By him all things were created, through him all things hold together, for him all things were created. Wraps a towel around his waist and serves them, washes their feet. So when we serve one another, we should receive it as if Jesus is washing your feet. The Spirit of God in you, moving you to serve, from the littlest of activities on projects to the greatest, whatever it is that God has you serve, it's as if Christ himself is doing that for you. And that's how you should receive it. Second is, Not causing each other to sin. Causing a brother to sin by how you treat him or her is a serious offense.
Obviously, here to Jesus, it's very serious.
So someone is serving you or the church, and instead of receiving it with joy and thanking them,
what happens? Well, sometimes they're criticized
or just dismissed. Not even seen at all. Like until that thing that they do isn't done to satisfaction or just was missed.
And then people notice it.
And in that, giving an offense of dismissing it or criticizing
what Christ would have them do, they sin in their own heart. They even do some sort of action in retaliation to being hurt. That's normal.
Like again, the child bringing in a gift. Daddy, I made this for you.
What is this?
Well, it's a picture of a knight and a dragon and a student.
That's awful.
What is that?
Like what is the colors you used to?
Why did you do? You know, why don't you try again? Can you imagine that? Crushing the heart of that child? Crushing the heart of your brother and sister?
It did this for you.
Who did that? You know, this place is all right, but you know, what's going on with that? Why did they do that? No, I don't know.
It's like when you hear things and all you hear is the criticism or the complaint you don't hear the, man, thank you for doing that.
Man, that was wonderful.
Sometimes we need things brought to our attention. Don't hear me say that you can't ever say anything negative.
But there's a way you can go about things that tear people down. And if all you're coming out with is criticism, and that's all that's being heard, then you're tearing either each other down. And so in the serve, it's like Jesus is serving you, wrapping the towel around his waist and washing your feet and serving you, and you're criticizing that.
That's what Jesus is saying.
You receive that person as if I'm doing it for you, and don't cause the other one to sin. Don't tear them down. Don't destroy their faith. Don't hurt them and wound them by dismissing it or
just criticizing. So often it's so easy to do. It's easy to see the flaw. Nothing we do is perfect. We all know that. What's the heart and the intention behind the serve?
Good. Hate you.
And people, we serve differently. We don't always serve the way that we would do it. And that's okay. That's good.
It's good.
Allowing people to give their gift of serving. So leading them into sin can become a pattern of behavior where they start to feel worthless, that they're not enough. They're inferior. They're inadequate. You ever feel that way? You're never enough.
Never enough for God.
Never enough for God. Never enough. What do I have to do to be better? What do I have to do to be better? You know where a lot of that starts? It starts
in the criticism. It starts in the relationship. So someone wounded you, and you're like, I'm never enough. What wasn't that? I was never enough for my dad. Am I enough for my heavenly dad?
I was never enough in the church. Am I enough for this ministry? You know, for the Lord? Am I enough? Am I enough? And we live in that.
That's a false identity. That's causing someone to live in a false identity. That's causing them to sin.
And so we have to be careful. So this response develops and people start to walk in these broken ways. My question is, if how you treated them is how God must view them, is what they think. They start thinking, this must be what God thinks too. And that's not true. That's not what the scriptures say. You have to be very careful how we receive one another. How do we fix it? Matthew 22, 36 through 40, in a nutshell. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is the greatest, the first commandment. And the second is this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On those two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Love God with all that you have.
And as you love him, he fills you with his spirit. And then you love your neighbor the way you have received love from God. Pour that love out for each other. You receive one another in the spirit of Christ. You thank them for their hands of service to you. You thank them for the encouragement, the heart that they have behind it. You just love them for it. You take that service, that picture, you put it on your refrigerator, and you say, this is awesome. I love this. I want more of this. Our church needs more of that, where we just love each other, serving one another in the spirit of Christ. And if we have had wrong responses, we should repent for those attitudes and thank those who serve us. Then we too serve. That's the other thing. After we've thanked others, we too should serve. We should serve the body. We're all called to do this. We all have a gift. We all should employ it. We should all work for one another and see each other with passion and walk in grace for one another. It's not about recognition. It's about playing our part in the body to see us all grow closer to God, closer to one another, and to manifest the kingdom of God among our neighbors who need Jesus. They will know you by the love you have for one another. So Romans 12:10 says this. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. And then 1 Peter 4, I'm going to stop with that, with this verse. 1 Peter 4, 8 through 11 says this. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift,
use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Will you pray with me? Worship team, you can come up. Keith, you can come up this way too. Father, as we think about serving one another, we ask that right now, Holy Spirit, you would just search our hearts and show us if there's areas that need to be transformed, that there would be no grumbling and complaining, but just a heart of gratitude and thanks. May we be like children, humble, and serving one another with joy and gladness. May we receive one another as the Spirit of Christ. May we step into serving if we are not. Holy Spirit, show us where you would have us do those good works that you've prepared for us. And may we know that as we do them, we don't do it for our glory. We don't do it to be recognized by one another in the fellowship. We do it for you. We do it for you, Lord, because you are worthy of everything. So we give it to you. Be glorified in your people. Be glorified in our serving one another. Be glorified in this place that the kingdom of God would manifest among us, that people would see and that they would know Jesus more. Strengthen us. Fill us with love. In Christ's name we pray and ask this. Amen. Keith, will you come and lead us in the Lord's Supper?
Thank you for listening. The Bridge Bible Church stands to exalt the name of Jesus. We seek to be a community that gives glory to Christ above all things and welcomes all people to join us in worshiping Him. If you don't have a church home, consider visiting ours. We are ordinary people who want to live life with authentic faith. For more information on how to get connected, deepen your faith, and experience what God has for you, please visit our website at thebridgewire.com.